Hello, welcome to Ray's Music Reviews, starring
KP.
KP.
Jared.
And yours truly, Ray. Today
the titular Ray from Ray's Music Reviews.
Ray's Musical Reviews.
Today we are reviewing Mad Lib and MF Doom collaboration, Mad Villain, Mad Villainy.
2004.
This album was released in 2004, and it has garnered a kind of a viral, a lot more of a viral.
It's really popular amongst people who like really like hip hop.
Like,
not a cult following per se, because I feel like its appeal is wider than that, than usually of what you might call a cult following. But like, yeah, if you know people who are really into hip hop, they have absolutely listened to this album.
It's an impactful record in its genre.
Yes.
Yes, and it's more underground hip hop genre. Well, it was underground when it came out, and now it's kind of more in the limelight and now
considered a classic in a lot of
considered
circles.
Yes, including this one. And
well, let's reserve our judgment. No spoilers for the end of the podcast.
We're calling it a classics review.
Yeah, you know,
you're correct. But that's kind of mostly MF Doom in general. MF Doom is a New York hip hop rapper, Mad Lib, legendary producer. I'm sure you've heard about him, or at least seen his kind of character logo around places, and it's. This duo is kind of, it's super influential, both of these people, separately. And when you combine them, you get
it's a this. Super group.
In a lot of ways, but I do feel kind of weird calling it a super group because it is a rapper and a producer. And I do feel kind of
super
weird.
Collab.
Yeah, yeah, also, I think it's two people a group.
No.
Sure.
I mean,
is like Run the Jewels a group?
Sure.
I mean, technically.
You know what? That's fair.
I mean, technically, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, shoot.
Is Simon and Garfunkel a group?
Yes. It's also a duo.
So a duo.
So it's both a group and a duo. But like,
usually when they give the award out, they give the award out to best duo or group.
Ah, but see, that says or. That implies you can't be a duo and a group.
Fair enough.
Now that we're off topic.
Dude, arguing semantics is like my favorite thing.
Yeah.
Yes, of course, MF Doom has gained a lot of attention online. So has Madlib, but Madlib's always kind of always produced a lot of things that you probably at least heard of a little bit. And this is Mad Villain. Mad Villainy. Let's get into the questions.
How did you feel about the opener?
The illest villains?
Are we talking about the little, like, not it's not an interlude, because it's like the intro with just talking about them being villains with like different like old radio clips and stuff like that?
I loved illest villains. The song? I loved accordion as well.
I'll go with accordion. Accordion was really good.
Accordion had so many. I loved the beat on accordion. I loved MF Doom's. I actually do love MF Doom's kind of smoky voice a little bit, especially over this type of beat.
Dude, the beats on this album are off kilter in a way that enhances MF Doom's
they feel,
kind of off kilter way of.
We'll talk about that later, but they feel kind of almost superhero like. That's kind of the wrong way, but it feels
super villain.
Their beats feel, yeah, but they feel like a comic book.
What did you
in
think
a lot of ways?
What did you think about the intro thing, though?
The intro thing, I thought it was a great way to open the album. I thought,
Jared, what did you think? Because you skipped to accordion right away.
In all honesty, I don't like any of the interludes. I don't really. I mean, they're like fine, and I don't like hate them, but I just. when I want to listen to the, when I went through this album, I would just skip over them because I would just wanted to listen to the actual music and not so much, like cut together stuff talking about how they're villains or whatever.
Now you on the other hand.
Yes, I felt like that is a great way to open an album that you are a villain. Just have.
You like the interludes. You like the way they took, they went in and out of the song.
I did like the interludes, but that's mostly because I think the beats were almost, were immaculate. I felt like if you look at the beat on, like, all caps and the beat on accordion and the beat on even, like, some of the interludes, like I, or the supervillain theme, the fact that these beats are made by the same person is otherworldly.
Oh, yeah, the production on this album is phenomenal.
I liked both the illest villains and the accordion, but I also get where if I'm putting this record on, I might start at accordions.
I mean, it's best that I say this now, but the line between something being corny and something being cool is so razor thin at the best of times.
Right.
And it matters. It from person to person, it's wildly different. And just for me, it didn't hit.
Right. Now, what'd you think about the closer?
The
Rhinestone Cowboy. This was a good song. I really like this one.
Absolutely. I felt like it's... I loved its kind of shiny and pristine feeling. And it's kind of...
Well, it's rhinestones.
Exactly.
And I just love the way he says, like, rhinestone, pause, right. Cowboy.
Right.
That's dope. Again, the kind of off-kilter delivery is so interesting.
As well as the applause.
Yeah.
I felt worked, and... This is just... I love that track too. What's your next question?
Your favorite track on the record?
Favorite?
Strange Ways. I really like Strange Ways. I find the questions it poses and the kind of social commentary and just the way it talks about it is really interesting. I think it's probably it's easily my best my favorite song on the album.
What about you, Ray?
All Caps was really good. I did like Rainbows. America's Most Blunted is absolutely the definition of a banger. I feel like if I had to pick one, I'd probably go All Caps.
All Caps is actually the song I was familiar with before I listened to this whole album. I really like that song as well. I will say that.
Least favorite?
America's Most Blunted.
I'd probably
we have widely varying opinions. For me, it's just I'm so sick, and I know this isn't like this specific song's fault or anything, but just like people talking about how good weed is, it just gets so repetitive and boring.
Right, I get it.
And it's like, okay, yeah, okay, you smoke weed, you're cool, okay.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, that's been a topic.
Oh, I've heard it in 10,000 songs.
Well, and it's been a topic though since whenever hip hop started. Whenever, but even before that, I mean, being enhanced by substances is a topic that is fairly timeless in music. But at some point, to some people, it runs its course. You know what I mean? And you probably felt like this was kind of retreading. The content is a retread of other content you've heard.
The content in the song, like the actual like rapping, it's as good as everything else on the record. It's just the subject matters.
Right.
Comparatively to stuff like Strange Ways, really boring.
Right. I get you.
My least favorite on here, probably Sick Fit. Even though I do like the story behind Sick Fit, in which case Madlib actually went up to MF Doom and... He gave him this beat to rap on, and MF Doom said no because he thought the beat was too good. I like that the story, but I think it was a bit...
Just bare bones?
It was a beat that needed to be rapped on.
Yeah. It's worth mentioning that this album is like 46 minutes long, and it has 22 songs on it.
Yeah.
The songs are all bite-sized.
Right.
In a lot of ways is a good thing.
Right, right.
You kind of blow through it. Some of these songs, I might not have actually realized they were different songs.
Right.
I get it. I might have thought the beat just switched halfway through or something like that.
All right. What did you think about the production on this thing?
Oh, phenomenal. Really good.
Maybe one of the best produced albums of the 2000s. Hands down.
I don't know what else. Yeah. No, I'd probably say that, too. From what I've listened, that's a period of music I'm not intimately familiar with. But the production of this was awesome.
To some degree, I could have done, like, I'm not saying anything bad about the rapping, but I could listen to an instrumental version of this all the time. You know what I mean? And I like the rapping is really good. He reminds me a ton of Method Man. And the issue with somebody reminding you of Method Man is Method Man's probably in every Hall of Fame out there.
So was MF Doom, dude. Yeah.
Well, I hear you. But that's what I was saying. It's really good. And I like him a lot. Like when he says Figaro, though, I hear Method Man every time he says Figaro. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is funny, but it's, and I don't think he's trying to do that. They're both from the New York area. They both, you know what I mean? It's really, and his rapping, it's really good. His content's good. Everything is cool. And it fits in perfectly with what, like you said, with the style of it all. It just, I really, really liked the music part of it.
Yeah, I totally get that.
Yeah, it was so good. What would you rate this out of 10?
8.
Yeah, I'd put it at an 8.
8, 9 on a good day.
I'd say, yeah, 8. Solid
7.
Eight.
7?
Totally
7.
Fair.
7.
Totally fair.
I was going to give it an 8, but you gave it an 8.
You got to be different.
Yeah. I'm not going to give it the same thing you gave it.
No, that's totally fair. Well, I changed my mind 7.5. That's neither.
No, I changed my mind. I changed my mind 3.
A 3?
Not.
A solid 4.
It was great, though.
I'll give this a light 1. I'll give this a light 0 to a 10.
Somewhere in there. Choose your own
I also would, rating. Like, anybody that's like an older hip-hop guy like me, I would highly recommend listening to this and kind of understanding that of the rap you're listening to hasn't gone so far away from what you, because it does have a very
kind of Native Tongues feel, maybe a little. It's jazzy.
An old school vibe of that time period where there was a Tribe Called Quest, where there was a Wu-Tang, where there was a, it has that, although Wu-Tang would be 20 different people on an album, but you know what I'm saying.
I thought this album, I didn't look it up until afterwards, but I thought this album was released in like the early 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I really thought it was.
I get that. It has that, the flow of it has that feel to it. Absolutely.
And of course, I don't feel like this is the only, I feel like this is the most impactful thing MF Doom has done. Please check out his other stuff. Food's really good. He did some stuff under the name of Victor Vaughn that was really good.
As in Victor Von Doom.
Yeah. He's literally wearing...
That's a Fantastic Four mark.
He's literally wearing the Doom mask.
Oh, yeah.
Which is dope, by the way. That's just aesthetically cool.
Absolutely. Which is why I love some of the beats, because they do feel like comics in a weird way.
Absolutely. They have a... Especially in this one where they harken back to the villainy in the little vignettes and stuff like that.
And the villainy and the stuff, it feels like this album is audibly, in some weird ways, sounds like a comic book.
Right. I get it.
And I feel like if this album were playing while you were reading a comic book, I feel like it'd be a 10. Nah. but what were our real ratings? It would be... poor of us to not talk about the tragic passing recently of guitar god Eddie Van Halen.
Edward Ludwig Van Halen.
What many have considered to be the best guitarist to ever play a note.
I'll say this though, man. Do you ain't got to be down. Celebrate Eddie Van Halen. That dude lived it. He came over here. He didn't speak English. He's Dutch. He's immigrant, comes over, doesn't speak English, gets bullied in schools. All those people that bullied him did not wind up living in Malibu in a mansion. He figured out a way to play guitar that nobody else had ever figured out. He created his own way of doing it. He had 12 studio albums. He had the biggest, he had the hottest young band in the world. He had the biggest band in the world. His lead singer left. They came in problems. He went and signed a hot free agent. He got it all back, had it all again for multiple more albums. He was able to, with David Lee Roth, have a band that had a push-pull dynamic between the lead singer and the lead guitarist that people tried to replicate and never could. He hires Sammy, and Sammy's more of a we're all one sound guy. He's able to figure out how that all works. I don't know that they're... I feel bad for Alex because I can't imagine having a brother and being a business partner, writing partner, all of those things, and losing. That would hurt.
Yeah.
I can't imagine how he's feeling, and I feel bad for him, but... Or, and anybody who... But I think all of those people that know he battled cancer would also be willing to say that guy had it great because of what he became.
Yeah.
And I think that's great.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, and I made a playlist.
You made a playlist.
I made a Van Halen playlist. I'm going to put it out on the Facebook page and the Twitter page underneath this podcast if you want to go to it and listen to it, and I will add things to it. It is not a standard Van Halen greatest hits playlist. It's just kind of songs because I've seen Van Halen twice, dude. Eddie's the freaking man. And I did not get to see the Dave version, but what they were able to do live and what he could do live was just absolutely incredible. And I appreciate two of the better lives of my life he gave me, which is awesome too. And he did that to millions of people.
I remember a little while before his passing, I said, oh, everyone says, oh, Van Halen won's the what started rock or metal and some along those lines. And when I checked it out, I was like, all right, I know that song.
Oh yeah, Van Halen won's.
I knew every song on that album, even the instrumental.
Right. Well, especially the instrumental. His Eruption and Cathedral those will last longer than all the other stuff because nobody can do that. You know what I mean? He's just... It's funny, too, because...
Eruption is probably the greatest interlude ever.
What did Valerie call his grin? I can't remember. She had a really... Valerie Bertinelli's ex-wife had a really neat way of saying that famous smile that he has. And it always seemed to me like that smile on his face when he was playing was just the way he was looking at the crowd, letting them know, this is really freaking cool what I can do, right?
I can't do that.
Nobody can.
Nobody can do that.
Right, right. What else we got?
What else we got?
What did we listen to this week?
What did we listen to this week? This week I did...
Oh, that playlist would be EVH, by the way.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Playlist will be called EVH. Recently, I did listen to... They're very underground band. I did listen to a lot of The Beatles.
Have not heard of them.
No. You don't know, it's tough. I barely know. I haven't heard of them either, and I just listened to them. Exactly.
What? Didn't you look at the tour list? A tier?
That's probably not going to be...
You don't want to steal that from him?
That's probably not going to be out in the public, but I did do, in my free time yesterday, because we didn't record an episode, I did do a bunch of tier lists for fun. I think I did one that was called, MU Core, where it was the reviewer site MU, and it's just a bunch of albums that have gotten big or that site really loves, and I ranked them.
Stuff like In the Airplane, like, Over the Sea.
Stuff like In the Airplane, Over the Sea, The Glow Part 2.
Yeah, The Glow Part 2. Some of my favorite albums, which is
Talk
totally
Talk, Laughing Stock, American Football,
Troutfish Replica,
stuff like that. Replica, and it was weird. Pet Sounds was on there. So was Remain in Light. In the Court of the Crimson King, of course. A bunch of stuff was on there. And just... those things are kind of fun to do, even though they're kind of out of style now. I went on to Tearmaker and just kind of looked at some stuff. I did some stuff on music, some stuff on wrestling, a bunch of stuff. I'm probably not going to...
Did you have any hot takes?
I put Chris Jericho in B tier on the New Japan list.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Totally fair.
This is...
What's hot about that take?
What's hot about that take?
You know, Zicadine.
You know, it's hard being right, you know?
Elton John released a box set of rarities and B-sides. I listened to it the other night home.
So did Linkin Park recently.
Yeah, it's strange to hear. I didn't know it was B-sides. I just saw Elton John's name in an album, and I played it, and within two songs, I was like, oh, wow, this... First of all, his voice is different now than it was, so I was like, that sounds like old stuff. And then, but it was just... interesting to hear. Funny thing about a guy like Elton John or a guy like Prince, when they put out B-sides, a lot of that stuff could have been releases because they're just really talented.
Yeah, it's like it's better than most bands' A-sides.
And the way Elton plays is so magnificent. You know what I mean? So just the, you know, I said that about MF Doom, right? Where I could listen to that record, just the any Elton John record, I could just listen to him play and not listen to any words. Dude, nothing against Bernie Taupin, who might be the best lyricist ever. But
Elton John, like every, regardless of like what you listen to, every song feels like a performance in a lot of ways.
Absolutely.
Even if it's not live, just even if it's the studio version, it just feels
everything's like epic, a performance. Everything's epic with him.
Feels like you're there. It's good.
Now, so did Linkin Park recently released their 20th anniversary Hybrid Theory thing. And it's
my favorite tag team.
I love them. Hybrid 2 Theory. The Theory. We got a new... Smashing Pumpkins record this week. It's odd. He did a record called Ava Adore years ago, and people think that, and not incorrectly, that was the end of what we knew as the Smashing Pumpkins at that time. And since he's come back to release material that wasn't just Billy Corgan, he's done more rocking things. But this is a more Ava Adore style dance trans thing, but it is also...
It's called Enocetana?
It's funny because it's a little happier than what Ava Adore was.
Enocetana.
But Billy doesn't really do happy.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of... melancholy at best, which, melancholy. See what I did there.
The Struts. I remember I saw one song called Confessions of a Dopamine Addict.
Struts released single with the lead singer for Def Leppard singing part of the hook, which was interesting. I actually enjoyed that.
I'm not just talking about new music, just generally stuff that I listen to. I did listen to Arctic Monkeys, Whatever People Say, and That's Why I'm Not, While I Played Video Games. Because that is a very hype album. All of it's fast. It's got clever song structures. It's got clever songwriting. It's probably my favorite Arctic Monkeys album, but then again, I've only listened to like three.
They make good stuff. Yeah. I initially wrote them off for a while in high school because I kind of figured they'd be more of like a 5 Seconds of Summer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a band that sucks. I'm not going to mince words. Anyways, just like a band that's popular... with high schoolers, that's just not very good.
Yeah.
But no, they've put out a lot of really, really good music.
Right.
When I listened to AM the first time, I was like, dude, this all slaps.
I listened to when Eddie died, when we found out about 1 p.m, the kitchen manager was like, okay, Kevin, pull up. Because whenever somebody passes, I always pull up and we play it around while we're working. And so I pulled up Diver Down, Women and Children First, 1984. And then some of the Hagar stuff, 5150, OU812, 4 on Awful Carnal Knowledge, and went through those, listened to them. So good. But
I did end up, actually ended up listening to Nirvana.
I've heard of them.
Yeah.
I've heard of Nirvana. Yeah.
Whoa, really?
Heard of Nirvana, yeah.
Pretty crazy.
Because they suck. Oh, I'm sorry.
Damn.
I'm kidding.
It still stands that In Utero is my favorite Nirvana album.
You know what's strange about Nirvana? I'm not a huge Nirvana. I like Nirvana. I'm not a huge Nirvana guy. But in the fall, like as soon as the leaves start to turn brown, I will play Nevermind in its entirety. Somewhere along the line, I won't think about it. I'll just pull it up, and I don't know why those are associated together for me, but they are.
I don't know. Dude, fall is the one time of year that I feel is like most strongly associated with pieces of media for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always watch the show Over the Garden Wall in the fall, because right. it does take place in the fall, but it is in the mood, very fall themed.
There's a nostalgia comes with holidays, right?
There's a melancholy.
Right.
I think specifically with fall.
Right.
There's a melancholy.
So we're going into the pumpkins.
Yes.
Because of Halloween and pumpkin pie.
Dude, people be sleeping on pumpkin pie. It's the best pie. It's the best pie.
It is. It's
hot
really.
Takes.
Hot take.
Do you like pumpkin pie better than everything else?
Absolutely.
Really?
Is the thing I look forward to every Thanksgiving.
Dude, I've never heard those words in a sentence in that
I know,
in
it's crazy. Like that. But like the secret is to have the same volume of whipped cream
as you do
pie, 1-to-1 ratio volume wise.
Okay, I'll have to remember that.
Right.
Now, is that a wrap?
Is that a wrap? Oh, no, actually.
Oh.
I did listen to, I listened to Turn on the Bright Lights by Interpol. If you haven't heard of it, it is a debut album that's kind of gotten a bit of an underground reception.
Interpol?
Interpol. It's Interpol. It's a fairly,
these guys?
Yeah.
Oh, Interpol.
Interpol, yeah. It is kind of a little bit part of that kind of indie rock renaissance, you know, a little bit of, you know, White Stripes, Strokes.
Very good.
Arcade Fire.
Jack White was on Saturday Night Live last night, did a Van Halen tribute.
That was,
didn't mean to interrupt you.
Crazy. That was
I did
crazy.
Mean to.
But. Yeah, you absolutely did.
it was important.
But this album in particular, it's pretty bleak. It's brooding, and it's not. it's bleak and not in like a edgy way. It's just really sad. But other than that, I don't necessarily have anything other to say other than just check out 2000s indie rock. To me, it's probably my favorite time for indie rock.
And MF Doom.
And MF Doom.
And what's his other name?
His other names are MF Doom, Victor Vaughn, and Mad Villain.
Dude, I'm going to have to come up with a Silver Surfer. Get out there and lay my bars down.
Yes.
So that's a wrap then.
Yes,
unless
I do
you want
believe
me to
so.
Put unless, some bars down right now.
Absolutely not.
Oh.
Wrap it up.
Our next episode will be Smashing Pumpkins, Siamese Dream. It's fall season.
You know what the best thing ever was?
What?
MTV did like a Halloween episode, and they said, at the end of this episode will be Smashing Pumpkins. And it wasn't really going to be Smashing Pumpkins. They just dropped pumpkins out of the ceiling at the end. It's awesome.
That's great.
Yeah, smooth. So smooth.
Dude, yeah,
so we could actually, in theory, say that on our next episode, we'll have Smashing Pumpkins, and then we can just crush pumpkins.
Yeah.
Smashing
Pumpkins. Do some good
pumpkins.
Foley work.
Yes.
Of course, Smashing Pumpkins, legendary shoegaze and grunge combination outfit. Our next episode, Siamese
Dream.
Smashing Pumpkins. I got the big two mixed up.
Right. So this has been a Go Home Heat production of Ray's Musical Reviews, copyright 2020.
For you. You,
KP.
What is your name? And you.
Jared.
And me, yours truly, Ray, signing off.
I got my name right.